And we're back, beginning of hour three, even though timing isn't exactly correct, but who cares?
Wah, wah.
It's a Tuesday night. Studio C is in full effect. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson and Al Perkins. Marnie Ryer has the night off because she needed it. We're complete zero on the amount of trick-or-treaters that we've had tonight at my house, which I'm really happy about because the caution tape and the lack of exterior lighting on the house makes it look deserted and creepy, so everybody took notice. Oh, heaven's sakes. Well, if you've missed the first 2 hours, there was a lot of laughter, some mispronounced names, and a cat who can't defecate on his own. So
not me.
Feel free, not that yeah. cat, different cat. Feel free to figure this out. Also, most of the show, Kat Carlson has been devastated with her breakup from Demi Lovato.
It's true.
We'll find out more about that later. But in the meantime, it's Al Perkins and Entertainment on Q-Talk America.
Well, hi. Yeah. Well, we'll just catch up on get some facts straight on the Kevin Spacey House of Cards. Because House of Cards, terrific, terrific show. I haven't watched this season yet, but it was the start of the binge watching TV. It was kind of the first offering from the Netflix original series that really hit it big. So they had planned on this being the last, kind of in the same way that Veep had planned on coming to an end. I think they were just going to wait to announce it, maybe to build up this season.
Sure.
This next season coming as the last, as you know, see the last season or whatever. Or what was the show, The Good Wife, that the announcement came like just in the Super Bowl. It was during a Super Bowl commercial. So they probably had some better way to do that than this. But then it's this shutting down production indefinitely to decide what they're going to do about Kevin Spacey. It feels off. It feels wrong. It just feels like, okay, this was 30 years ago. No sex. I know we've already covered this.
There's been no issue with him for 35 years.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said a thing aside from this one incident, which I'm not negating.
Right, exactly.
But nobody on the production crew or the production company or the cast, anybody, nobody's ever had a problem with him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're going to recoil and be like,
yeah, it's just like now we're getting like it's getting into a little bit of like, okay, if there's something truly happening, yes, be worried about it. If you have an aggressor in a position of power and stuff like that. And the other thing, it's mostly about power. And like,
right,
30 years ago, what power? And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into the he said about it because it just comes off as ick no matter what. But I just don't think you have to like suspend a TV show to make sure Robin Wright is feeling okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a little overboard. So there's that. But now this is kind of breaking ish
news. It's so important. He has to get his glasses out to read
it. I do because I realize I have to read and I'm just getting more tired by the second. So I guess there's been some statements about Entourage sexual misconduct against Jeremy Piven. Ariane Bellamar, who claimed on Monday that the Entourage star sexually assaulted her multiple times. He says, I unequivocally deny the appalling allegations being peddled about me. It did not happen, Piven said in a statement. It takes a great deal of courage for victims to come forward with their histories, and my hope is that the allegations about me that didn't happen do not detract from the stories that should be heard.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's one more person. It's strange goings on, and we know that there's... We know there's more stories coming. There's more stories coming. And there's people whose careers are going to end. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if this is, you know, if this is the end of Kevin Spacey, whether it's for the statement or for his actions 30 years ago that brings it all to a halt, who can say?
It's just so weird.
But I don't feel like we have to worry about the cast of him being a predator for the cast of that to me seems a little off.
But what I don't like is the internal conflict that I feel that I have now because I don't want to take away from what the young man is claiming that happened
right.
30 years ago. I don't want to take away from that. But I feel like if I don't have sympathy, I'm an asshole. But if I do have sympathy, I'm an asshole. I just feel conflicted with this whole thing because, again, how much I love Kevin Spacey. He's very talented. I loved him in everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
Even in shows I don't watch, I think his acting. I just saw Baby Driver. He played a complete asshole in that movie. Fantastically.
Yeah.
And I just, everything he does. And now I feel like if I'm not mad about this, I'm the jerk. And if I do feel mad about this, I'm the jerk.
Right. And it's the whole conversation with Woody Allen. And do you separate the artist from the man? Like, do you enjoy the art? but condemn. And then, like, I don't even, like, I don't, like, I, that story just strikes me as so bizarre that we're gonna need something else. You know what I mean? Like, I feel so uncomfortable calling someone a pedophile. It's so awful.
Yeah.
It's so, like,
right.
You can't come back from that. That's one of those things that once that's out in the world, you're just done. Like, you're never coming back.
Yeah.
They can exonerate you. They can, you know, everybody can apologize, and that label just stays. That letter just stays on you, and it just got an ick factor. His coming out story, awful.
Right.
The way he
timing
chose to
and timing,
the absolute worst right. way right. to do that.
Exactly. Right. Just leave. Yeah. Just do that one sentence thing and walk away. And I think that we might need to figure out everyone's feelings on and shut down production. Is anyone going to throw shit at him during the show? So that's that. And just one more person. And now we keep finding out all these, like, Will and Grace has been, are they just filming this last week? Like, I was under
that
the impression.
They are spot the fuck on. And
oh
I
my,
think they are. I
oh
think
my
they're
God,
filming
don't
it
cry.
A week at a time.
Right. But I was under the impression that they went before the cameras in, like, mid-August or
it started.
No, I think they're filming this
but
now.
To get a Harvey Weinstein joke in this week, to get the paper towels yeah. thing in mm-hmm. so close to, like... Mm-hmm. Like, they are staying current.
Don't,
and
don't
they
cry,
may
you
realize,
look like Jeff Sessions watching a black
man
vote. God
oh my
damn
God.
It.
Fantastic.
That episode was so funny. Oh, look, a morphine drip. No card. Front desk, who do I have to thank for this lovely morphine drip?
Look, there's nothing in the minibar, or as you call
the bar. Oh.
But yeah, they are timely as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On
it. More than I ever
writers.
Have been.
Yeah, I mean, but they were making horrible Tom Cruise jokes at the time. Like, they really went after Tom Cruise. They went after Angelina Jolie a few times mm-hmm. for being a little oh. wackadoodle. But and they would catch it and be like, "Wait, when did you get that?" But I just feel like it's so like
filmed
right
yesterday.
This minute, yeah,
right,
and genuinely funny. Like, I'm delighted by my TV again. I'm kind of sad by other things I've been laughing at lately in compared to, like, just straight-up adult humor. And where, you know, Veep is very, very funny and very political. But this is right. just stuff that we would all say. Like, we would all say it to each other. You know what I mean?
I've learned one thing about loved ones. Cremate. Right,
so she woke up the first
shovel of
dirt
hit the casket, she woke up.
Oh my God. She's dead, honey. I went to her funeral.
When he's like, "Karen, I've always loved you." Well, there's the answer. Did the morphine drip kick in? Karen,
does your business associate know? He has some strong suspicions.
Does Benji number two know you're a homosexual?
I love that it's Benji number two.
Yeah, doesn't even bother to change their names. Oh, he had the horrible misfortune of getting old. So goddamn funny.
Be sure to work out your hammies for our meeting later. God, it was so funny.
Yeah, that's filthy too, in its own very special way. So Thursday night, the good place and Will and Grace are proving to be just a delightful 1-2 punch of
yes.
Friday morning TV for me. Whenever you get to watch it, I'm happy for it.
And so, I'm saving all of the Will and Graces so I can watch them again later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as much as I can.
So we had talked about, like, all things Stephen King coming true. Mm-hmm. But it turns out there is Spike TV, but it showed up on Netflix last month or last week. There was a miniseries made out of The Mist, another novella, but I think this one is actually a short story because I think it falls in the short story, not novella range. It's very confusing with him whether he's writing novellas or short stories.
What's the definition between the two?
Five pages.
Novella is slightly longer than a short story. Then you read a small book. But
with miniseries, like, what are we talking? Like, Ritz was a miniseries, and it was like a
oh
week.
No, the miniseries isn't under question. That's just this is a miniseries because they canceled it. They're not bringing it back. Oh. But a miniseries is something that only lasts one. But, like, all these shows that they're introducing as a limited run special, unless it's a hit, and then we're bringing it back.
Oh.
Like, that's how okay. Downton Abbey started. That's how Big Little Lies started. 13 right. Reasons Why, Stranger Things. They all acted like, you know, if this flops, we never intended to make
right,
anything
right,
else.
Right.
But if it's a hit, we've got 3 seasons written.
Okay, so a novella
is
a fictional prose that lands somewhere between 7,500 and 40,000 words. So longer than a short story, but shorter
than a novel. You're in this weird range.
Wow.
Yeah. But he puts out those, he puts out collections, and some of them are a collection of short stories, and some of them, like the one where Stand By Me and Shawshank Redemption and App Pupil, those are novellas, because those are clearly four short novels.
A little
novels.
Bit longer, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like almost an anthology, but that's the same thing, too.
Because
there's a lot of words. But anyway, so The Mist is out there, so I decided to watch an episode. It has nothing to do with the book, except for there's mist. I mean, they have changed every single character, all the circumstances.
Not even a spray, it's a mist.
It's a mist, okay. Yeah.
Is there a Sierra mist in there?
Oh, I do enjoy that.
And Amina, it would be a pederast. You're absolutely right. It's not a pedophile, because everyone likes children except for Clayton. Pederast means you're doing something dirty. It's kind of like the Indiophile, Francophile we've talked about.
Right.
The,
I like that. I'm
file means that you enjoy. Pederast means you did something bad.
Audiophile.
Audiophile, right.
Citizens arrest.
Citizens arrest. another surprising thing from watching TV, we put on the MeTV channel, and the kid that played Robin on Batman was really fucking cute. His young ward. We were like watching Batman the other day, and I'm like,
Burt Ward was cute.
He was cute. Yeah. Whatever his name was. Okay, so Burt Stranger Ward. Things, so we'll cut right to the chase. Stranger Things came back. Season 2, no spoilers. Not quite as good as season 1 because you've lost the surprise of all the 80s delights. Like, you already know that soundtrack is going to be absolutely fucking killer. You know that they are stealing from Tangerine Dream and Giorgio Moroder, the guy that ended up on all the movies for Tim Burton, Danny Elfman. Like, you can just hear all of those influences from the 80s. They're absolutely perfect. They're stealing from all the best things. It's still a lot of fun. It's just not this time it's not a surprise. You're not delighted clapping going, "Oh my god, that looks just like that." The only thing they get a little weird is they have Paul Reiser from Mad About You and from Aliens. They're doing a sequel and they do an almost, it's way too on the nose to be doing an homage to Aliens with Paul Reiser standing there in a sequel with almost a shot for shot attack scene from Aliens. Like, that's where it just got to be like, all right, now now it's too much. Like, it's
okay.
As a nod and a wink, it's fun at this level of now we're at the Goldbergs. Like, now we're just, one day Paul Reiser came to the set and we got to pretend we were filming Aliens. Like, it was just too on the nose. It was too much. But really, a lot of fun, and I got caught up in it at first.
I feel like that's very inside baseball, though. Like, you get it, not everybody else catches it.
No, but I mean, you can just enjoy it as a really, really nice, mildly spooky. There's a couple parts that may be a little upsetting, but it's not a scary. It's just creepy, and it's good popcorn TV, like Gremlins and all that stuff. But if you really were a fan of 80s movies, or you remember like 80s stuff, then you just get to enjoy like how much they liked the same movies you did. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
when a singer is imitating a singer you like, you're always happy. Like, oh, we like the same people. We're going to be fine for an evening of this person, because clearly she wants to rip off everything Barbara Streisand's ever done. We're in. But the freaky-deaky little thing for these Duff, I think they're the Duffler brothers. I think it's Duffler, not Duffer, that wrote and directed it. They have fun 80s songs in there too, so it's not just this soundtrack that's so evocative and fun and so completely 80s, but they also have appropriate music for the time and era of 80s songs to play in. So the kids are listening to what you'd think they'd listen to, the older brothers listening to like slightly cooler music from the same era, so you get like the bad 80s and the good 80s together as the older brothers trying to guide the young kid away from like trashy 80s music into like cooler stuff like The Clash. So it's kind of fun to see all the stuff. But the last episode starts off with Barbara Streisand, and then there's a really bizarre scene with a woman and a teenager where they play Donna Summer, I Do Believe I Fell in Love, like the most random deep cut from a Donna Summer album anyone could ever come up with. You're not going to find two people on earth that aren't fans to my level that would be able to pick that song out of a lineup.
Okay.
But I've never even heard that title.
It's from She Works Hard for the Money. It's the closing track that Donna wrote and produced all by herself. And, like, that song? Like, that's such a deep cut. It's such a rarities track. And it just, it makes for a very uncomfortable scene.
Uh-huh.
Like, why is this older woman looking at this teenage boy while Donna Summer sings, "I Do Believe I Fell in Love"? Like, is this sort of like a rapey, "Do you want me to seduce you, Mrs. Robinson" moment? It's very strange.
Okay.
Very strange. With a character that they really need to, they really just didn't write well. If there's one character in there that's just kind of poorly written and makes no sense and doesn't, by the end you're like, why was he in here? So it's more science. I would call it more science fiction than I would call it horror. But you know, a couple creepy moments. It's just good popcorn TV. Like, it's so much fun. The kids are terrific. Just great star turns from all of them. David Harbour, the one that gave the great speech at the Golden Globes last week against right after Trump was inaugurated. He's so good. And Winona Ryder, I'm still convinced, is playing her character from Heathers.
30 years later,
what happened to that damaged girl who watched a school get blown up? Here she is in a small Indiana town having a nervous breakdown, and she's very excitable and smokes like a fucking chimney.
That a girl.
And it's just a fun, fun character choices that Winona Ryder makes, America's favorite pixie, as she was called on South Park. And now a year has passed, so all of the kids are taller than her because she is so tiny.
Right.
That 12-year-olds are taller than her. And they hide it a lot, and you don't really, like, you're like, wow, she really was that short. Like, Beverly Leslie would be, like, taller than her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So watch it. If you were a fan of the first season, get into the second season. It's an easy watch. Like, it's just well done. Good for Netflix for getting another one right.
Yeah. Good for them. Yeah, they do a lot of right.
Yeah. And it, next season, if it's just those kids riding around on bikes, swearing at each other, I'll be delighted to tune in again. Listening to the music of 1985. It's a good year for music, because now this was all winter of 84. So, like, and the music was all appropriate, like some good Police songs, like the school dance. They weren't dancing to the generic shit that we play before the show starts. You know what I mean? Like, they paid the money, and people want their songs heard.
If we ever have a budget.
Right.
We'll get licensed by BMI and ASCAP and do whatever the fuck we want.
That'll be lovely.
Fuck them all.
Someday. That'll be a lot of fun.
So that's pretty much it for entertainment, because I really... Oh, the other follow-up from last week. The two movies I was looking for, yes. Beach Rats and Super Dark Times. The reason that I can't find them is because between them, they're playing in 5 theaters across the United States. You know how...
And none of them are in Phoenix,
currently,
of course.
three rooms are playing one movie at Harkins 19.
Mm-hmm.
There's only five rooms. You can see this movie
in the whole country.
In the whole country. Right, so, right. Like, it's just crazy that at the Arizona 24, there's one movie playing on 5 screens there. And I don't know what's going on with this, why these movies, if they're just that independent and they're just getting their Oscar release dates, not that I think either one of them is going to be there, but is it just like qualifying theater? So you get your 7 days in a theater and then they're going to go right to video. But, and Falsettos was on PBS, and I forgot to tape it, and I am so disappointed.
You can still watch it. Check your on-demand
place,
because you can stream it directly from their website if not. You can just go to PBS.com. It's on there.
Because the Sweeney Todd with...
And if that still doesn't happen, let me know.
Yeah, then we'll do other things. I am a generous subscriber to the PBS, so I feel like they can send me a fucking DVD.
Right. If there's been a televised musical this year... I got it, kids.
Like, and from the I Thought They Were Dead file, I learned that Nanette Fabre is 97 and is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemarie, again, few of you out there probably realize who Rosemarie is. She, for many years, was a guest on Hollywood Squares. She was the older actress, always had the little lock. Yeah, I'll take the joke of that. And she always wore the little bow in her hair over on her left side. She was famously in the Dick Van Dyke Show, played alongside Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke, Carl Reiner, and the whole crew. But anyway, I follow her Twitter, and a documentary just came out about her called Wait for Your Laugh. And it's playing in a lot of places all over the country. It's not coming here, but I think the closest it's going to get is like a Playhouse or some movie theater in L.A. So I'm trying to figure out, because I really would like to see it.
And what does that have to do with Nanette Fabre?
Just that Rosemarie posted on her Twitter feed a picture of her and Nanette Fabre from... Oh, no, actually, was it a recent picture? It's not too terribly old, if I'm not mistaken, of them. And she's saying, I want to say happy birthday to my friend Nanette Fabre. She's 97, and it gives me hope because Rosemarie's 95.
Mm.
So
what's the one that was Coach's wife on Coach?
Shelley Fabre.
Is that her daughter?
That I couldn't tell you.
Because she was a Mouseketeer, right? Isn't she?
Makes sense.
Wasn't Shelley Fabre like one of Annette Funicello's? Isn't she the other famous Mouseketeer?
That makes sense. But Kat will probably tell us here. Just
Shelley Fabre is the daughter of Elsa Fabre.
Not
and
Nanette.
James.
Is Nanette her grandmother or?
No,
great
I think there's any related
or an aunt.
Stand by.
This is old people who are doing research. That's what this is. It's exciting. But anyway, it's the trailer for the movie for The Life of Rosemary looks very interesting because everybody and their brother's in it because she's worked with everybody.
With everybody.
Over the years.
She's old enough to have come from...
Oh, and on her website, this is interesting.
Come from vaudeville.
On her website, they are selling items that are hers, like there are autographed pictures. There are actual... The rose pins that she used to wear everywhere she'd go, the gold rose pins, that she... They're actually from her collection. There are actually fur coats from Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills, which always a sponsor for Hollywood Squares many years ago. So I thought that's interesting. They're actually selling... She's selling off her stuff.
So Shelley Fabre is the niece of Nanette.
Okay, cool. So there is a connection. Yeah, got it. Wow, I'm glad we figured these things out. Now we're going to figure out other stuff.
Thank goodness for the internet.
Oh my God, I'm glad you're here, Kat, because now you're going to give us this little segment.
Oh, a segment.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Kat Carlson, boys and girls.
So I was initially going to do two things of the two horrible things that I saw in the news today, but I decided that that was too much. So we're going to start with bromance and how millennials are killing America.
Oh.
That's right.
Sounds upbeat.
I know.
All right.
But it's funnier than it sounds. The rise of the bromance is threatening heterosexual relationships, according to science. Science has said this.
Science. Come on.
Now.
I want to hear this.
Is science real?
It's true. Science is real. Millennial men now hug, sleep together, and share secrets. That's right. A man's man will sleep together in the same bed at a sleepover.
Gotta try this.
I thought that was just called a weekend.
I know. After surveying 30 undergraduates, now this was a long-reaching study, you see. 30 people were surveyed.
Okay.
Not even enough to make it to the Family Feud. Family Feud, 100 people were surveyed.
100 people surveyed, top 5 answers on the board, name something
but
you can sleep with, not have sex.
After surveying 30 college students, this particular study has discovered that 28 of them would rather talk about emotional issues with their male friends rather than their girlfriends. The majority also said it was easier to resolve conflicts with men and admitted they kept secrets from their partners, which they shared with their male friends.
Everybody does
well,
that.
Well, sure.
Though. I should think so. I should hope
so. That's been going on forever. I mean, Lucy and Ethel told a lot to each other that they never told Fred
well,
and Ricky.
But were Fred and Ricky sleeping together?
Well, that we don't know. Babaloo!
So a couple of things. I don't think anybody in this room is especially like professional about straight men. Right? I don't really know how straight men
interact.
You would
have more experience than I would.
Sure.
I've been left for women a couple of times.
It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been left for men a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly. It's not my proudest moment, but I got the flag in that poll, too.
Wow.
Yeah, that went wrong.
But yeah, you know, I read this and I was like, well, that's interesting because I feel like women have done that forever.
Sure.
Yeah.
But no, this reads as new information.
Brand new information
for men.
As Phoebe would say.
That's right.
This
in fact,
is brand new information.
In fact, Dr. Stephen Robinson of the University of Winchester says that the results are significant and worrying for women and warned that there's an emerging culture of sexism and disdain in the way millennial men view the opposite sex. He says these heterosexual millennial men cherish their close male friends so much that they may even provide a challenge to the orthodoxy of traditional heterosexual relationships. Given that young men are now experiencing a delayed onset of adulthood and an extended period of adolescence, men may choose to cohabitate as a functional relationship in the modern era. He continues, because heterosexual sex is now achievable without the need for romantic commitment, the bromance could increasingly become recognized as a genuine lifestyle relationship whereby two straight men can live together and experience all of the benefits of a traditional heterosexual relationship.
It was called The Odd Couple. It aired on TV in the 1970s.
Tony Randall was fabulous.
Saturday nights, yeah. One of them was debatably heterosexual.
Well, you know what? They don't reach quite that far back. These researchers say that films such as 21 Jump Street, Due Date, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin have also heralded the era of the lad flick, which I find very distasteful.
So, and super bad. That's another good one.
Did you say in your little reading there, what about they can get all the benefits of a heterosexual relationship? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. Like the emotional benefits.
Right, because all of the like partnership and the living together and the fighting over the dishes.
They're
and
doing the Tinder for sex, but they're having the emotional relationship.
Okay, I want to make sure I was clear on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With Spuds McKenzie. I don't know. Think of a guy's name.
Yeah, all the men involved.
I guess yours.
What the?
Chunky? Are we back to that?
Chunky McKee, ladies and gentlemen.
Two nights only. Get him.
Two nights only. Enjoy the veal.
No, tip all the way over. I can see how that would completely work, because if they've got more things in common, they both like to watch sports or they both like to work on cars, they would do it. So they meet in the middle with everything else.
Right.
Nobody's around nobody's around nagging them to pick up their shit and do this and do that, whatever. They can do whatever they please. And then they on Friday night they break up for a few hours and each goes and does whatever they need to do with whoever they need. And they come back and high five each other and let's go back to watching football.
That's true. In fact, when the study participants were asked to describe the difference between a bromance and a romance,
no dicks.
They answered sex. Yeah. Really, the difference is sex.
Well, I guess you could go like this too. I guess there's a place for that. I mean, I don't want to upset Pudsey the anus free cat.
Unless you're Clucky the kitty.
Anus free kitty.
Oh.
The rectally challenged.
One participant named Aaron told researchers, quote, "We hug when we meet and we sleep in the same bed when we have sleepovers."
Yeah,
everybody knows it and nobody is bothered by it.
They
do it too.
Again, I'm going to have to do you have a spinner gidget?
Fidget spinner. I got it this weekend at the Halloween show.
Okay.
Help me get through the show.
Shiny thing.
he's been more attentive, it's true.
I'm sorry. Like,
it's helping his ADHD.
I'm okay with the bromance and the friendship and sharing secrets, but when you're sleeping in the same bed, it's time to get a different apartment. Like,
no, I'm going to say nay.
I don't know.
I bought a king-size bed on purpose.
See, Anand says it's just one step away from humping each other. Once you get in the same bed, I don't care if you got your magic underwear on. You're doing it.
I don't know if this is evidence one way or the other, but another participant named Harvey said, for example,
somebody's going to wake up with a boner.
They both are.
Yeah. And that's the day it happens.
Harvey says that his bromance partner, Tim, knows I love listening to Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
Oh, fuck off.
But I keep that quiet because he'll just judge me. I feel like I have to be more manly.
But I keep that quiet. I mean, the whole time I have his dick in my mouth, I'm thinking we're just friends.
I don't know her. Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to... This falls under the we kiss in a shadow kind of deal here. Mama's calling bullshit.
I enjoyed this story, and I want to be a participant in the study.
The war...
You're going to have to dim some lights if you're going to pass off as a millennial.
How about that?
Look, we're getting closer.
Oh, look, it's the Halloween edition.
Oh, look, it is. Look at this. Look at that.
Got down to late 30s.
Really? You're in the most dark. There you go.
Yeah, I could pass it. What the hell was that?
My eyes. Even the camera couldn't adjust fast enough.
I just Uncle Fester turned into a light bulb.
You're welcome.
Straight up.
Is there a sign-up sheet for this study, or is it done?
See the Adafruit cat.
No, it's Cluck. Cluck is the name of the cat.
Well, okay, wait. This sounds like a gay buzzer story sourced from Reddit, LOL.
It's true, it does.
What the fuck is a gay buzzer story? Is that one that they buzz your dicks so you don't get excited? Is it like gay therapy?
No, it's not like a shock collar for your cock. Okay. No, buzzer is a website that has like bogus stories.
Oh, okay.
Or it could be alleged stories.
That could be read as porn, because that story, you know, that story went dirty.
This one right here is labeled science.
Okay.
Jones. Now, what?
That sounds like the start of a spank bank story.
Does it
that
also
I would enjoy.
Say where they found these 30 people? Is
this at a Judy Garland concert?
Well, no, but
well,
she's
I mean,
dead.
We have to millennial
right,
that
right,
joke.
Right, right,
they
it was in 1963.
I'm sorry.
Where did they find the what campus of
the
what university
of Winchester? I believe they're British.
Oh God!
So that changes
now
it all.
Now
they're all just gay. Now,
British or gay, nobody wins.
Right,
that game.
Exactly. Is it an accent? Are you gay? Yes. I was hoping you'd say, like, this is in San Antonio, or it's in Flagstaff, or somewhere.
Could also be in Flagstaff. I've seen some of those.
Well, it gets cold.
I don't know whether to offer you a tea or a blowjob. I can't figure out where you're coming from.
Do you like tea?
That's my favorite line from Brokeback Mountain. Just get in the tent.
I guess it's a blowjob, then.
Well, I hate tea.
Well,
I don't like tea.
Wait, what's the millennial version of tea? Like Red Bull?
No, do you like Red Bull? No, it works.
Jolt Cola? I don't know. What are they drinking as crack now?
Four Locos.
There you go. See?
No, that's old.
Isn't that?
That's old.
I don't know.
Still.
Do we have any millennial listeners?
We sure don't.
We just got lectured that we're chock full of them. We've got more millennials than Pudsey's got anuses.
Cluck. The cat's name is Cluck. She's a little bound up,
but it's
Cluck.
Fun gay. Like Fungy, but more makeup. That's
now,
funny. Oh, Amina, you are on it tonight.
Oh, my God.
Johnny Weir.
Odd gay bromance. Most of them come from Reddit. What's a Reddit?
So Reddit, go to Reddit.com.
Reddit is a social media site.
Is it porn?
No,
it's not porn.
Because I was delighted to find out what
Tumblr. That's exactly.
Right.
I signed up for that.
I learned what Tumblr
was
for.
Now, once again, is this study over? I need to
know what? I can try and get you some contact information.
No.
I honestly don't know.
I mean, I'll do it for almost $10.
Because even in that state, they're going to call me fat.
Here's what I know. I read it most of the way through one time, and I thought it was entertaining enough to bring to the show. And look at this.
I like the
laughter.
Fact that we are enjoying the story much
I
more.
Learned about gay buzzers and Reddits.
Yes.
Poop emojis.
Oh my God.
How to dress a cheeseburger correct? Well, I knew how to dress a cheeseburger. That was not a surprise.
I think you would know. Right.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Oh my gosh.
I have two things.
Bring on two things.
There's
bring it on.
Not a Burger King near me.
There is not. I actually have Googled that, and the closest one is at 7th and Glendale.
Yeah, I want a flame broil burger.
It is nice to have a very nice flame.
Isn't there one on the 17th somewhere?
There is.
Yeah, but I'm not riding my bike on the
17th. Well, that's true. You can't.
Jesus Christ. Just kill
You're
me
just
on the street and make me
trouble.
Into a cheeseburger. Fuck.
But perhaps if you owned a vehicle.
And
goodness.
The second thing
if you're riding with your bromance partner.
Exactly. Now, will
seriously.
My bromance millennial drive me everywhere?
No, because millennials don't drive.
Does that turn into driving Miss Daisy real quick?
In your case,
yes. Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Missy.
I mean, I would sit in the front seat.
Would you?
I would. That's not true. I have a lot of stress in the front
However,
passenger seat.
However, in fairness to you, the driver could potentially be black. I know you enough.
At any color. If you're driving, I'm open. Well,
I was
wow. We gotta go.
That's the best segment of two things or just one thing that I've done in a long time.
Okay, that's one. There's no Burger King near you. What's the other thing?
Oh, a double layer burger. Because if I drove that far, I just want two patties.
No, right.
That's
two,
fair.
All, two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
That's McD's.
That's
I understand
a
that.
Big Mac.
I'm just going to have to buy me a gas grill that doesn't have gas.
Actually, wait a minute. Where did I just
you
see?
Yeah, I got into charcoal.
Hang on.
I get yourself a George Foreman. Do it right in your kitchen.
Wait, I just drove past a place that there is a sign that there is a new Was it a Burger King?
It's very exciting.
Hang on, it's on a corner. It's on.
He's gonna channel it.
Shut up! I'm trying to backtrack where I was driving.
He's doing a fast food seance right now. I'm kidding.
He's wearing a crown. He's a cartoon.
I'm getting flame broiled. Are you getting flame broiled?
Is it a brazier food?
I'm getting a flaming queen. King, royalty.
Now I'm sensing a potato product of some sort.
No, it's a corner that has nothing on it currently, and there's a sign that says coming soon. I swear it was a Burger King. I just have to remember where it was. But I was driving in the past few days, and I saw it.
That narrows it down.
Well, I'm trying to help you out.
Well, you went all the way to Scottsdale.
What was your second thing?
The second patty.
God.
You're almost as good at two things as I am. Because I only brought one thing.
Because I'm not coming back. It was too hard to find you. Put both pieces of meat on that one bun. I feel like that's healthy. Why will it never flood in Flagstaff? Because there's a dike on every corner.
Oh! Ain't that the fucking truth? Let me tell you.
It's only true because it's funny. All right, I got to go to bed.
Poor Cluck.
Do I have any more show to do, or should we say goodnight?
No, I think we're pretty much...
Is that the anus-free house rat?
Yeah, I think we're going to call this a...
I only got this far through this glass of wine.
Chug it and pedal home quick.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I'll go face first into this table.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Nuh-uh. Do not Wendy Williams your way through the show.
Crazier things have happened.
We're going to make that a verb.
Oh, well, I'd like to thank everybody who participated in the old chat room. Amina and Joe and my mom. And was an aunt in there, too?
Yes.
And we had
there.
Jacob so with a K. Jacobs and we had Michael.
Michael, yeah, thank you for all for being there.
Oh, and an aunt brought up the Heaven's Gate podcast about Heaven's Gate, the cult.
We'll figure that out later.
Ooh.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday!